All right, everybody, good evening.
Good evening.
We're now live. We thank listening audience from around the world. Michael said that things are happening really nice for us. And people in Asia are looking at our stuff, and I don't know if they're listening to the podcast or not, but things are happening. God is on the move. I'm so excited. Even though the community was dealt the blow a little over a week ago with the death of the 15-year-old, God is still doing amazing things among people.
Amen.
Let you know, just on a personal side, last night we found out my mom has cancer. She's 80 years old, cancer in her liver. They say it's terminal. I guess I'll go down tomorrow and find out what's going on. My brothers and sisters are there. She's in the hospital in Orlando. Am I deeply saddened by it? No. Because my mom gave her life to Jesus. And Paul said to be absent in his body is to be present with who?
With the Lord.
With the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm excited about that. I'm learning now about the Holy Spirit. We can't be afraid of death. Because death is going to come to all men someday unless Lord Jesus come back. Right, Kyle?
Right.
And so, giving God the glory and honor for that. Amazing things are happening in the spirit world. I don't know if you all are noticing what's happening with you. Have you looked in the mirror and see what God is doing with you spiritually? How Lord Jesus has really leapfrogged you, in a sense, into a level of knowledge and understanding of Him that you haven't been. You never had before. This is a new area of understanding who He is. We're doing two wonderful things here by Him. The teaching in the book of Romans kind of puts us at a standstill where we have to see what God took a church that was so embedded in the law, and He's transforming that church into the very perfect image of His Son Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight, and we're going to be seeing this evening those baby steps that Christ will use through the Holy Spirit into Paul to bring, in particular right now at this point in chapter 10, the Jewish Christians online where they need to be. And we will no doubtly grab a hold of that same line of thinking, same line of teaching, same line of power and presence of the Holy Spirit as He pulls us into it also. As soon as we get through with chapter 10, we'll leap on into chapter 11 where Paul, for the first 6 or 7 chapters, has really gave us a lesson on God's grace. Okay? Saved by grace. Then he turns his focus to the Jewish Christians. And for the next several chapters, that's where he's been at. But in chapter 11, the tables are going to turn. And he's going to tell you and I'm going to use modern day language. He's going to tell you and I about ourselves. Okay? Don't know if I told you all, but the church in Rome had two styles of Christians. They had the Jewish Christians, who were considered the weaker Christians, and then the Gentile Christians. Yes, ma'am, you're on it. Who was considered the stronger Christians. And they had actually got beside themselves and puffed their minds up and was looking down, if you will, on the Jewish weaker Christians. And then Paul, in chapter 11, by the Holy Spirit, is going to put the Gentile Christians in their place. And so what we're going to be seeing is that the Holy Spirit basically had to take both groups and kind of spank their bottoms and say, look, neither one of you have room to brag.
Amen.
Okay? Because that's what God had to come and do for both of you. Okay? And they both had some pluses and positives, but the bigger picture was that both were lost without Christ. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, neither group would have been saved. And 2,000 years later, that message is still applicable. It's still powerful. It's still saying to you and I, this time it's saying internationally around the world that without Jesus, no human can be saved.
Amen.
Period. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. It's a very powerful part, very detailed part. We're going to be in the Old Testament. We're going to look at some stuff. And hopefully we'll get through chapter 10 today. If not, we'll just keep marching to the speed of the drum that the Holy Spirit is laying out for us.
Amen.
Is that all right?
Yes.
And just give God the glory. I mentioned our listening audience because there are people who are following us. And our claim is that we are going to stick to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? And the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I want to set the record straight, is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John only. The gospel of Jesus Christ is from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Okay? Because that's the way God set it up. God gives us very little about himself, but a whole lot about his son in the scriptures.
Yes.
And that's the way he wants it. That's the way he has it. And that's the way it is.
Amen.
And that's the way we're going to give it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that in your word, the living word, Lord Jesus, stood before crowds of people. And you reminded of people that had been taught for hundreds of years by your Father, who also you, that God is God, the Lord God, Yahweh. He is God. And that there is no other God besides him, beside false gods. And if we choose a false God, there's a price to pay for that. A very, very huge price that no human want to pay. And Father, Christ our Lord allowed us to see into your very heart, into the very nature of you. Widows who had their sons dead, you brought those sons back to life. Daughters had died, you brought them back to life. People were hungry, and you fed them. Even the demonic spoke out and had afflicted people, and you rebuked them and cast them out, showing your superiority, your power, your sovereignty, even over the spirit world. And so, Lord God, all these things pointed to you from your son, Jesus, that he is, in fact, the Son of God. And in some cases, as we clearly see in your word, that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
And, Lord, we cannot deny, Jesus says he will not deny himself. He cannot deny who he is, and neither should we. And Lord, today, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be looking at the church in Rome, a church that you love so dearly, and you patiently, patiently taught these people and helped them turn from their wicked ways by turning to you and placing their trust and their faith in you. And Lord, that is still you today. You're still helping wicked people, sinful man, turn from his wicked ways by turning to you, making a public profession that Jesus, you are the Son of God, that you did die for our sins, and that God, our Father, who is your Father, raised you from the dead. And Lord, all who believe in you, who place their trust in you, you say, will not be put to shame. And you're going to show us here in a little bit what that means. And Father, we also know that at times in life, no matter how close we are with you, calamity is going to come. Situations is going to occur in this body that we're either going to be injured or we're going to become ill. And such is with my mother, Lord. 80 years old. Annabelle Crenshaw is a maiden name, and Lord, married my father and became a Nelson. Lord, that precious little jewel birthed 11 children, 6 girls and 5 boys. And you blessed us all to still be here. And Lord, I thank you dearly for her life. I'm not counting her gone, Lord. I'm just thanking you for the blessing and that you've given us through her. And it was her, who only had a third grade education, used to sit on the edge of her bed, couldn't read much of anything else, but she could read your Bible. As I sat there at the foot of her bed, I heard her speak your words. And I remember the first time, Lord God, understanding the book of Revelation as she was reading from the Holy Scriptures there. Father, that night, you came to me in a dream. I never forget. I was 8 or 9 years old, somewhere in there. And that night, Lord Jesus, you showed me things in the spirit that, Lord, has never left me. It solidified my faith in you, Father God, that you're God and God alone. And there is a day coming in which the judgments of God, the wrath of the Lamb, is coming to this world. And Lord, you paid a huge price to save men, but man gonna pay a huge price for rejecting you. So this evening, Lord, I ask for healing for my mother. I've already asked that, and I ask it in faith, Lord, not doubting that you've already taken care of her. And Lord, what an incredible testimony coming your way. And Father, we just like to praise you because no matter what happens to us, you never abandon us. Brother Amelia is a living testimony, and Sister Vicky and Sister Marie and young Kyle there, all of us, Lord, are living testimonies that you're true to your word and you love us, your children. And Lord, we want others who don't know you to hear very carefully tonight what the Spirit is saying to the church and to the unbeliever right now. What you want them to do, how you want them to respond, because you care for them, Lord. You love them beyond measure. And we're praying, Father, if just one soul hearing this message tonight, and you know who you are, as the Holy Spirit speaks and tug at your heart, yield to Jesus tonight. Yield when you hear this message, because he'll love you. And the nail print in his hand and in his feet, and that mark, the scar in his side, are evidence that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loved you and me. Please surrender your life to Jesus this very night. And Lord, we're asking now for salvation of Israel, all of Israel. Have your way with Israel. Allow your peace to dwell in Jerusalem. And Father, for these United States, we're praying, Father, for revival beginning in your house, Lord, the place that we call church. Lord Jesus, clean us up. Allow our light to shine forth to a world that's so dark right now that they will believe and trust in you. Have your way now, Father. As you speak, Holy Spirit, you are our chief teacher. Lord Jesus sent this word to us from all the way from heaven. And the Holy Spirit, we're waiting to hear what Lord Jesus has to say to us as church. Because in his precious name we pray, Father God, be glorified and glorify your Son with the glory you two had before the world was. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, all of this is about the entire text of Romans. Is all about Jesus. Incredible thing the Lord God did here by him inserting himself in human history. Now, we covered some deep ground. We covered a lot of ground last week. We went back and we looked at how the law worked. What were the righteous requirements of the law? And we found out that no Jewish person could keep the law to its latter perfection. Nobody could. Okay? But we know that Lord Jesus, when he came, he fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. And when we think of the law, we think of the Ten Commandments. But we know as a whole, there are 613 commands. And he kept every one of them perfectly. Okay? That's a lot of rules from God to go by. Okay? Yay! Thank you. I got a pointer. Yay. So, I want to back up for a minute. The law requires a man or woman to work in a certain way. Am I right? Amen. That means you got to behave a certain way. Didn't necessarily mess with your mind, though, did it? Didn't necessarily go into your heart of hearts and make you change, right? But what it did do, if you were Jewish, it pointed out that you got big problems with God. Okay? You are a sinner, and because you're a sinner, you need help. And this is the help that God has sent. His name is Jesus. Okay? And that's what Paul basically was telling his Jewish audience in the church in Rome. So we're going to look at verse 5 again, and then we're going to walk down from there. And we're going to go into the Old Testament. We're going to look at some stuff in the Old Testament. And so here we are. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. So again, do not commit adultery, right? Back all the way up, Mr. and Mrs. Israel. You're not to have any God before God. Okay? And you're not to make any graven images. And you're not to bow down to them. Right? Whether they are in the sea or in the sky or on the land. You're not to make any shape or form of anything in color to God. Okay? Paul reinstates that in chapter 1. He reinstated that. And reminded them, look, you took the created things and worshiped them more than you did the Creator. So these things are wrong. All right, we've seen that in chapter 1. He went on, he talks about people doing what's right. We get down here in verse 6 up here. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. Okay? That is to bring Christ down. That is actually a copycat, in a sense, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Turn to chapter 30. Let's take a look at verses 11, 12, and 13. Miss Maria, I'll pull it up on the screen here on one side for us. And what you and I are going to see here,
30.
We're going to go to Deuteronomy. Let me see. I think I can pull it up on this side better. I have to make some real adjustments there. Hey, everybody, you got chapter 30? Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Paul, you know, Moses is encouraging the people to choose life.
Okay.
No, chapter 30. Now, listen to this. For this commandment which I command thee this day, I'm reading from the King James Version on this one, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. In other words, the word of God is close to you. Okay? That's what Moses is telling the children of Israel while they're in the wilderness. He's standing there and he's telling them about the things of God. So he said, listen, the word of God is near you, Mr. and Mrs. Israel. Today in 2015, how can we relate to that today? Well, Miss Vicky and Deacon Amelia, the word of God is right in front of you.
Amen.
Young Kyle, the word of God is right in front of you. Okay? I seen this sister here. She was looking at her phone. At first, I thought she was pulling it up, pulling the Bible up on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have no excuse in 2015, most part in the Western world, because of technology. If we don't want to carry a paperback copy of the Word of God, we can go right to our phone, our tablets, our iPads, or whatever it is, our laptops, our desktops, or whatever it is, and do what?
Push a button.
You can turn on your television, and there's what? You can get the Word of God. You can go to the movie theater, and they'll even put it up on the screen at the movie theater. At least some of them will. Okay? So we really don't have any excuse. So as Moses is standing before this crowd of people, he's telling them, look here, you getting the word of God. Here it is, right here. It's available to you. Then verse 6, he goes, I'm getting cross-eyed here. In verse 12, he said, it is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. And Moses was kind of being a little facetious, wasn't he? He was being funny in a sense. Look, you don't have to go up to heaven. You don't have to go to the throne of God and bring the word down here. Why? God had already come down and given it to him. Okay? It was a done deal. And so what Paul did, he kind of copied this format for his letter to the Romans. He said, look here. He says, but the, what did he tell you and I? Right here. But the righteousness that is by faith said, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven. Is that not like what Moses had said hundreds of years earlier to the children of Israel in the wilderness? And so Paul, he's getting their attention. He has his Jewish audience attention. And he goes on and says, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Okay, Brother Miguel, let's see you take off in the space shuttle. Go get Jesus and bring him here. Okay, we want to hear it. You know how y'all like to say it? Now, when you were growing up, y'all used to say, hear directly from the horse's mouth. Well, Jesus is not a horse. He's the Son of God. In fact, he is God. So you want to hear directly from him. All right, you go. Get on up there and bring him down here now so we can hear it. Paul said, no. You can't do that. You're not going to be able to do that. You saw the stars of heaven, right? Yeah, that Psalms.
You were so close to one, millions of them, and jumping around.
Psalms 19, for the heavens declare the glory of God. Okay? That's what you was experiencing last night. All right, verse 7. Who will descend into the deep? I got something to tell you there, that the word used there is actually right here. Abuson. All right. Who's going to go down into the abyss? Or another way to say it, and a lot of you don't like hearing it, who's going to go to hell and get Jesus and bring him up? Which one of y'all going to go do it? Really? I'm that powerful? I don't think so. I have trouble getting in my truck coming up here. Okay. So do you see the parallelism, what he's saying, what Moses basically is telling Israel? He said, now that beyond the sea, that is, that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Okay. Again, the bottom line here is, folks, there's absolutely no excuse. You have the word of God. Okay. You don't have to go searching for it. High Springs, when I was doing my doctoral work, we counted that there were 27 churches in this town. 27. If you drive down 39th Avenue in Gainesville, you know how many churches you'll see before you hit 13th Street? Bunches and bunches of them. Am I right, Kyle? Some of them, in fact, I think I count like 6 or 7 of them are brand new. Mm-hmm. And you go, good grief, why do they need so many? But they're empty. They're not filled to capacity. So yes, they need them and much more. If they could reach the population in Gainesville, they would need much, much more. Amen. 27 churches in High Spring is not even enough to touch the population. If we were doing our job and people were responding to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, Jesus would be, woo, you go, boys and girls, you own it. But that's not what's happening. Okay? But the Word is available. God has done His work. He's made it available. Right, Miss Nancy? He's made it available. That's what Paul is saying. The Word of God is available. All right? Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, It is in your mouth and in your heart that is the word of faith we are proclaiming. Look over here. Verse 14, Moses. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. How can you argue with it? So Israel of old knew this. It's ear. When the word enters your ear, it's in there. It's in there. Can you kick the word of God out of your mind? No, 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 no. Because you know what the prophet Isaiah said? He said, the word of God is like rain that falls down from heaven. Okay? And it waters the garden and it brings forth a harvest. Okay? And he said, the word of God is just like that. It goes out and it does not return to God void or empty, but accomplish that which pleases God's good pleasure. It does what God sends it out to do. Now, whether you respond to it or not, that's a different story. But guess what? God has accomplished his mission in you. And on the day of judgment, when you stand before Lord Jesus, guess what? Either you will stand there as a son or daughter of Christ, or you will stand there as the enemy of God. Amen. There's no in between. Okay? No in between. So Paul is giving them a pretty old history lesson here. All right? Verse 9 down here. Now here's something. This is procedural. And Miss Nancy loved procedures. Step by step process on what to do to turn away from what was supposed to be the works of the law, now turn into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is now what has to happen. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. People, now Gentiles are sitting in the audience also when this letter was read, and they're hearing the elders of this church tell this Jewish audience what they have to do. And it says the first thing comes is that you got to speak a word. You have got to speak a word. You got to speak a word. What happens when you speak a word? What happens? It begins to get your mind moving in the right direction. People, it fertilizes your mind. When you speak the word of God, it energizes your mind. And it began to move your heart.
Amen.
So the first step in the salvation is that you must admit. You must admit it with your mouth. God requires it.
Amen.
Okay? And here, Moses said it to Israel. This is how Moses said it to Israel. But the word is very near unto you, in your mouth. Get it on your lips and vocalize it. Get it on your tongue and make it come out. Say it. That's why early in this book, in chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of who? Jesus Christ. Is that not vocalizing it? How could people know, especially when you're in a restaurant in modern day time, that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ if you're not sitting there and talk about it?
When you're praying to something.
Yeah. Tim Tebow at a football game. He's on the field and he got John 3:16 on his face. And cameras are like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. But Bubba, millions went and looked it up and they found out what it meant. Okay? So get it on your tongue. Let somebody hear it. Most important, let God hear it.
Amen.
Let Lord Jesus Christ hear it. Okay? That's the first step. And then the mouth is the open mouth of the gas tank. The word comes in and it travels down. Down into your what?
Heart.
And your heart is another word for what? Let me see where you're at today. A heart is another word for what? Your what?
Soul.
Your soul or your? Or your being or your? Say it again. Yes. Yes. So when the mouth speaks, it is going on down, on down, on down, and it reaches the real you. And when it reaches the real you, something begins to happen. But if you block it, God gonna see that too.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
So he's telling his Jewish audience, listen here, salvation now is not by works. That means you got to internalize the word of God now. You got to speak it, you got to internalize it, and you got to act on it. That's why it's hard for me to believe, Kyle, that a person can say a little prayer, the salvation prayer, and their lives not be affected by it if they truly mean it. Because what Paul is telling you and I here today, and what Moses had told Israel long ago, is that this thing is better than what psychologists can tell you and I. Has to happen. You want a person to change their behavior? Tell them to vocalize it and get it deep down on the inside of so that they can begin to model out the type of behavior that you desire. Okay? God is telling Israel, by the way of Paul, I'm going to have you change from working, trying to get to heaven, get to me, to now believing. Believing in my son Jesus. And the first step of that process is that you got to speak it. Lord Jesus, I believe in you.
Amen.
And I know that you are the Messiah who God has sent here. And I know, but we'll get to the rest of it. I started on a roll there. So, anyway, so if you confess, so Kyle, get out there and say it. You must say it. With your mouth, Jesus is what?
Lord.
King,
judge.
If you are afraid to say Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is Lord, you got problems. Now, Kyle, you mentioned today a very long word given from the Hebrew family. What did you call it? About Yahweh with all those vowels being together? Let's focus here. We got to go to school today. The Holy Spirit is schooling us today, okay? We got to go to school. Now, look at verse 9. The Greek does not give you and I, not even in the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament form of the Bible, does not give you the Yahweh here. Other words, the capital, all caps, L-O-R-D, Yahweh. This is Kyrios. It does not give you Yahweh, it gives you master. In some cases, can be translated as teacher. Okay? What you need to know here, that when you hear Jesus' name, okay, in the Hebrew, Yeshua, it means the salvation of Yahweh. So we've done him a discredit in the New Testament by not adopting a word that can give us Yahweh for Lord, okay? Rather than giving us Master. Master is a step down from Yahweh. It's inferior to Yahweh. Why? Because Yahweh is God. I get loud, sister.
That's okay.
Amen. Lord simply means someone who's in charge.
Yes.
And of course, God is in charge.
Bring it on, sister.
But not good enough.
That's not good enough. It's God is much greater than this. He's huger. Can I say that? Huger.
Yeah. I say Lord and God.
Yes. Yes. He told Moses, he said, go tell him, this is my name. This is what I want to be remembered by forever. Okay? Lord God, Yahweh Elohim. Okay? That's what I want to be remembered by. And so, don't mess it up now. But they did. The Greek sometimes is so inferior to the Hebrew language when it comes to the things of God.
Well,
and that's, we understand that. Transliterations, you lose stuff from one language to the next. But that's why God put teachers who's supposed to be able to bring this stuff out to you. Okay? Because this is not showing us the fullness of God's superiority over the human race and over all creation. Because when you study the Word of God closest, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was
God.
Uh-huh, meaning Jesus is who? Uh-huh. And Paul tells you in the first chapter of Colossians that it was Jesus who created all things. So did John, too. And as we're moving right along, this is some good stuff from the Lord, okay? And so, for it is with your heart that you believe. And it's amazing how Paul is giving his Jewish family here baby steps. Okay? He said, now you're going to have to do something else here. It's a shift now. The mouth tells you one thing, but now the heart got its part to do. Meaning your inner person, your innermost man. This is the real you now, Miss Vicky. This is what the real you have to do, Brother Amelia. You got to do something. You just can't sit up in church every day and let the Word of God bounce off you. Once you get it on your mouth, all the senses of the mouth tell you that this is good. Right? And when you swallow it, you begin to do what with it? Digest it. And when you digest it into your person, it becomes a part of who you are. Let you stop eating for 6 or 7 days and see what happens to your body. You begin to do what?
Deteriorate.
Yes. But when you feast on the Word of God, get it in your mouth, speak it, and it began to go down into your heart, into your very inner being. And it began to supply your very soul, your very spirit, with the spiritual nutrients you need to believe and trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Spirit is there giving you a little bit of kick of some milk, okay? Paul said you designed the sincere milk of the Word, right? He gave you a little bit so that you can digest it. And before, ma'am?
And be nourished.
Being nourished. Yes.
Amen.
And so what's happening is the Holy Spirit is bringing this into you. He is doing something to your thinking group up there. Okay, call your mind. He's getting your mind to see something that's very ugly about you. And all of a sudden you got a label up there you're not used to seeing in your mind's eye, and it's called sinner. And you go, ah! Where did that come from? And he said, it's been there all your life. You got to be kidding me. How come I never seen that before? Because the Word of God has never penetrated you before. Okay? And now you know that there's something going on in you. Okay? And there's an ugliness about you that you know God don't like or doesn't like. Okay? Proper English. Now, so, you got the confession. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Uh-oh. Paul, what did you just do to us? Gentiles are sitting there looking like, what did he do? And the Jews said, I don't know. We need to ask him. What do you mean by that? Because that's a huge step now for them.
For us too.
And for us. You mean to tell me that I no longer have to go and kill a lamb, take it to the priest and have him take his blood and put on the altar as a sin offering for me? No. I'm not getting this, Paul. What are you saying to me?
Confess your sins.
You made a confession. Yes, I have. And we know John the Baptist told him that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But they still need to be schooled. Gentiles are sitting there going, we have no idea what they're talking about. We're about to learn.
But she just brought something up I think we need to cover. Well, confess your sins. Mm-hmm. It's a little different than this confession. This confession, confessing, is not confessing your sins, but confessing, admitting that Jesus is God, that
the King,
He is the King. Right. This confession is not saying, these are my sins, which is a natural version of confessing your sins. You go to confession.
You're doing a beautiful job explaining it.
This is different, though, Maria. Yeah. This confession is, I look at God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I am awed. That's my God.
Yes!
That is the confession. That is my God. And you later say, well, yes, I am a sinner. But you don't have to go to a priest and say, I did this, 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 and this, and now how can you fix me?
That's right.
No, no, he can't fix me.
He cannot.
Father.
Excuse me.
I think you did an excellent job.
Well,
that's good.
Yes, well, I was just, I know Marie.
Here you have now.
I do.
Let's back up.
Express my condolences.
Y'all are too much today.
Are we bad?
No, that's all right. No, it's a good bad. Can you imagine for the first time hearing a young man sitting on the side of a mountain? And he began to tell you things that no priest had ever told you. And you not knowing that this one that's sitting on the side of the mountain, not in a priestly robe, is actually God's Son, real Son in the flesh, sitting on the side of the mountain talking to you.
Explaining things like they've never been explained before.
Never. And as good as Samuel was, he wasn't able to explain it like he did. And the great lawgiver Moses, he couldn't do it. The great warrior Joshua, he couldn't do it. The great prophet Elijah, he couldn't do it. But this one, sitting there, who had been gone not too many distant years from this time of this letter, the writing of this letter, and he's sitting there and he's telling them all this stuff. And now people are passing this stuff along by the very person of the Holy Spirit. And they're about to learn some things about this one that was sitting on the side of that mountain that they never learned before. Neither did their fathers knew it. But their fathers read about him. But yet they had no idea that their ancestors, or shall I say, their descendants, will get a chance to look at him and experience him and love him face to face. And some would even put him to death. They didn't know. And others would get the experience from God, who was handpicked, like Paul told the church in Corinth. He says some were handpicked by God to see him in his post-resurrection state. Handpicked by God. Back up a little bit. Think about Joseph of Arimathea. One of the Pharisees, which the scripture said, John tells us in chapter 20, that he was a secret disciple of Christ. Imagine now, the only human handpicked by God to go to the governor and ask for the body of God's son, who's now hanging in suspension on a cross for the world to see, battered and broken, naked. And he now has been commissioned by God to go and get Jesus off the cross. His dead, swollen body, blood still dried. Take him and wrap him up in this shawl. And there, he takes the Son of God and does what he knows has to be done. These Jews had no idea that what was taking place would end up to this point right here, where they would have to now take everything that they had been taught all of their lives and be transformed into a new thing. Instead of works, now faith. Faith into the one in which they had first denounced. But now they know the truth. And some of them are regretting that their forefathers had done this thing to him. Many of them have carried the burden of getting this gospel out and have lost their life. But that day, we don't know how many Roman Jewish Christians received this blessing of going out sharing Jesus with other Roman Jews and other Gentiles in the area. And once Nero started his persecution of the church, may have been pushed completely out of Rome, completely pushed out of Jerusalem, other areas, and this gospel began to spread. Amen? And they didn't know what God was about to do.
But when he died on the cross, the people had to know that he was God with the sky, with the power.
Miss Marie, when men's hearts are hardened,
if I see that happen.
Once again, these people saw Lord Jesus do things that they had never seen any human do before. They watched him raise the dead. 12 of them watched him walk on water. In fact, one of them did it himself.
Yeah, Peter.
Okay? The crowd watched him take a small amount of fish and bread and feed thousands. Not once, but what? Twice. They watched him heal people of diseases in which none of their leaders were capable of doing. And the worst one was called leprosy. Not only did he speak a word of healing, but he did something that the leaders wouldn't do. The leaders wouldn't even get close to a leper. And he...
It was against the law.
Yeah. So he reached...
It's above the law.
Yeah. He reached out and did what? Touched them.
And their flesh.
Yeah. And their flesh was healed.
Right then. Oh.
Right then and there. And so he... He did so much in front of them. The evidence was sure. And yet, They still wanted to stone him, it says in John chapter 10. He said, which of these good works you want to stone me for? They say, for the good works, no, but for you calling yourself the Son of God, making yourself equal with God. That's why we want to stone you to death. How can a man be God? What they were saying.
And he was.
Yeah. He could change who he was.
No one else could, but he could.
So,
they try walking on water.
But they were blessed that their descendants were not wiped out. Okay? They were blessed to the point that God still have grace and mercy. And that no matter where they were situated, whether Rome, Ephesus, Colossae, Corinth, you name it, wherever they were, or Jerusalem, right? They were blessed to receive this gospel. That's what these books tell us. And not only them, but us also. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's taking them through these baby steps. And we're going to go down a little further. So, it is with your heart that you believe. Other words, that you have faith. Okay? That you have faith and are justified. Other words, Miss Marie, you cannot deny the fact that you speed. And an officer gave you a ticket. I'm not saying that happened.
That did.
You can't deny that.
Sit down.
So she appeared before the judge.
No.
And the judge says, what ticket? What speeding? I don't have any record of you speeding. You come. But you don't know that the one standing there representing you had gotten rid of the evidence. So your honor says,
there's nothing there.
There's nothing there. The blood of Jesus, Jesus by his own blood, took the human race and said, he washed away our sins. So there is absolutely no record. So when God looks, there's no record of sin. But why do men and women go to hell then? Or the lake of fire, why are they going to go? Because they rejected it. That's why. So he's telling the Jews something huge because they understood justification. They knew that when the priest would offer a lamb, okay, a sacrifice, especially during Passover, you know, that was huge for them.
And it had to be a person.
But I like what the writer of Hebrews said, but it didn't do anything for their mind. It didn't change their conscience towards God. Okay? They still continue to sin. Because how could sacrificing a bull get a person to change their heart? But one thing, by placing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it does. That's why it says you got to believe with your heart. Otherwise, your conscience now has got to change. Amen?
Amen.
And this is huge. This is powerful. This is deep for those guys and gals sitting there. And the Gentiles are going there, oh. And they're going, oh, we're not so good after all, are we? After all these false gods we have, we didn't even know the one true God. We thought we were doing what was right by calling on our God. But our God is not God. He is God. Yeah, they were just religious. I like that, Deke. So it said, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are what? Saved. Folks, these Jewish Christians were already saved. In this context right here, he's letting them know, because you have done these things, God has stored up for you in heaven by his son Jesus Christ, salvation.
Amen.
Okay? And that's why Paul says that look up, for your redemption draws what? Nigh. It is closer now than it was before. Closer. So that means, you know what he just described to you and me? Our entire lifespan from the day that the Lord God saved us by his son Jesus to the day that he calls us home, God had laid up for us salvation. The works of salvation by the Holy Spirit is being carried out in us. That's awesome. Okay? And the Jews are now thinking, you mean we don't have to do anything for it? No. Because faith says you don't have to work not one iota. Okay? You don't have to lift a finger. Because if you do, it's not salvation from Christ. Because Christ has done all the work. Okay? This is pretty important, folks. So, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Isaiah tells him that same thing in chapter 50 of Isaiah. Let me tell you what that means. That means, Miss Vicki, when you stand before God, who is the supreme authority, or Jesus Christ, because we know from John 5, Jesus is the one that's going to judge the world. When you stand before him, you don't have to be ashamed of the guilty verdict that was coming your way for having sinned against God. Okay? You don't have to worry about that. You and I, who have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who by his own blood washed away our sin. You and I don't have to worry about that. Because what happens, you're standing before the universal court of God, and God says, guilty. And all of creation hears that verdict. What's going to happen to you when that's said? Who now is going to be ashamed? You will be shamed before all creation. Because now the chief authority of the universe have just declared you guilty.
In front of everybody
and everything.
No hiding.
There was no hiding. Now who's shamed?
Me.
And that's what that represents. That you don't have to, you would never be put to shame, because there is no shame in righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ has declared you and I righteous. Whew. That's enough to celebrate Jesus, folks.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right. That's enough to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you and I die, we don't have to worry about God saying, depart from me, I never knew you.
We'll call us goats.
Ma'am?
He won't call us goats.
No, he will not call us goats. She's quoting from Matthew chapter 25 there. All right, as we're closing on out, and here is where Paul hits the entire audience, both Jews and Gentiles. Look at this now. For there is no difference between Jew and who?
Gentile.
All right, y'all like to pick on Israel? Guess what? Paul said, there's no difference between Israel and you when it comes to standing before God. Okay? The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. So, Mr. and Mrs. Jew, salvation isn't just for you. It's also for you, Mr. and Mrs. Gentile. And Mrs. and Mr. Gentile, just because you think you got this and that, and you want to look down on the Jews, guess what? Okay. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel in the Gentiles, they are the church. Because where do you think the first disciples came from? Where do you think the Savior himself came from? Folks better get it right. Now, for the nation of Israel, what God has in store for them, that's up to God. But we do know what Christ has for the church, which is made up of both Gentiles and Jews. That's right. It says here. And I love it. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, we'll stop on this one, will be saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't care if you're a falling down drunk or you're the world's greatest prostitute. Or you could be the world's richest man. Or you can be the boy that delivered the newspaper. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No matter what country you're from. You can be from China. You can be from Haiti. Be from Little Hot Springs. It doesn't matter. You call on the Lord Jesus Christ, allow the Spirit to enter your heart, enter you into the very heart of Christ, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be saved. You're going to receive salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You're going to be part of his eternal kingdom. This is awesome, folks. This is awesome. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
And it's in quotations, and I'm trying to find why.
In the New King James Version, they put it in quotations.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah,
I think it's whenever you see it in quotations, there's more emphasis. It's emphatic.
Joel 2:32.
In fact, that is a cross-reference.
Mm-hmm.
Joel does say that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Joel said, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, for on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance.
Or salvation.
Said, right, among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
Or the remnant.
The remnant, right.
Okay.
Isn't that fantastic? Okay, well, I never noticed before that it was in quotes. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Neat.
That means God meant that thing.
That's right.
You can take it to the bank.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What are your questions? Wow.
We have no excuses.
We have no excuse.
Right.
He said the word. We got the word. In the United States, of all the countries on the face of the earth, we got more Bibles than any other country. We got more churches. Okay? Physical churches, shall I say, the buildings. We got more training institutions for the gospel than any other place on earth.
State hospitals they need.
So we are a blessed nation, but we need to act like a blessed nation. All right? Any questions? Next week, Lord's willing, we'll pick up in verse 14, and then he gets to talk about people like me. We'll call preachers. Okay? Whether y'all like us or not, he gets to talk about us. Let's pray.
That's the only way we get the word.
Father, we thank you so much for your eternal word. Lord Jesus, we're so glad that you haven't changed your heart towards us. Certainly not against Israel. And Holy Spirit, what an eye-opener tonight to understand that when we speak the word of God, when we speak this confession, that is, we're showing Father and Lord Jesus that we believe in them. We know that they're the only ones for us. Lord, things begin to change. And they change for eternity. Lord, by you coming into our hearts, taking up residence, as you had said in John chapter 14, verse 21 and verse 23, you and Father, Lord Jesus, there's nothing greater on earth than to have the Father and the Son living in us. And being sealed by the Holy Spirit of the living God. The same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Living in us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making all this possible. And we thank you, Father, for sending him. Now, Lord, our God, watch over us until we meet again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Before I say anything else,
Joel 1.